Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
1:34 in Edmonton. Brendan Escott and Cody Jansen holding down the fort today. Bob is in the air with the Oilers. They are headed to Arizona. They'll take on the Coyotes tomorrow. You'll hear it on 630 CHED, starting with the face-off show following the 6 o'clock news tomorrow night, and then puck drop just after 8. That is the front half of back-to-back road games that go from Arizona to Vegas the next night. Very well could be a showdown between the top two Pacific Division teams with the Oilers in Vegas. I don't know if you're heading down there. I guess you can. Despite the COVID restrictions and that sort of thing. If you are, enjoy the crap out of that one. That's going to be excellent. The weather has to be fantastic, as it always is when the Oilers fans venture down there. Vegas game, 6 o'clock, face-off show, 8 o'clock, puck drop as well. Okay, we're still going to hear from Oil Kings head coach Brad Lauer coming up in about 10 minutes or so. But right now, let's connect with our NHL insider, brought to you by Legacy Heating and Cooling. Whether it's heating or cooling you need, get it with no payments and no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy, Legacy Heating and Cooling. John, you're on with Brendan. How's it going today?
Good, man, you?
Not too bad at all. Things a little bit better around these parts than I've seen them before. And that's because the Oilers are 3-0. And we're trying not to plan the parade. But it is exciting to see the fans worked into a frenzy and pounding on the glass and cheering away as the guys are in the media room trying to do their post-game avails and that sort of thing. It's just a whole different buzz around this city. And you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to temper expectations yet, because I think that there's a lot of good for this team and we haven't been able to enjoy that for quite some time. So what do you make of the first three games and how much are you investing in the results that have come out so far?
Well, it's interesting, Brendan. I actually put a little bit more into it maybe than some, because I don't think the team has played relatively perfect hockey yet, particularly the last game. Against the Ducks, and they still were able to win. And I think there's a sign of resilience that we saw at times last year and maybe even the year before, a bit before the COVID shutdown. There's a resilience that this team can fight through things and get itself out of trouble, like they did last night after being down by a goal. That to me is a positive. You know, the home start, It makes you think, you know, because I look at the Winnipeg Jets, who started with three games on the road, have yet to have a victory, and everybody used to talk about it's great to start on the road because we can bond. Well, you know, Vancouver has been on the road; they've only won once. Seattle, the same thing, only won once, although maybe that's one too many. But I think starting at home and creating momentum is a positive for the Oilers, and I think that we'll get a different sense of what happens with this back-to-back coming up tomorrow and Friday.
Well, you know what? I think even the indication of them turning to Mike Smith for a third consecutive game in order to try and push themselves over the top and get that win last night. You know, like every win, every point this year seems to have an added importance. And you can feel that this group senses the clock ticking on some genuine success at this point. Now, a lot of that, I think, is being solidified over the first three games because we've been able to see the newfound depth of this roster and the scoring depth and in action. And that's finally not a headline anymore. I'd love your thoughts on what the bottom six, and in particular that Ryan and Fogel and Cassian line, and how effective that they've been through the first three games, even alleviating some of the pressure on the big gunners.
Well, not to say, and I'm going to pull a Don Cherry, like I said a couple of weeks ago. I'm not going to do that. But we have to stop talking about top six, bottom six. We should be talking top nine. I say that based on what I think the addition of Warren Fogel does and the resurgence of Zach Kassian. You know, Derek Ryan is a good utility centerman. He can kill penalties. He's effective more often than not. So the Fogel and Kassian combination with Ryan in the middle does give them, you know, a little bit of physical play, a little bit of defensive play, and can still put the puck in the net. So this is not a top six, bottom six anymore. This is a top nine. And I think that's very important for a long 82-game schedule when you can have the confidence to be able to put out that third line, even in offensive situations. And you're not double-shifting the McDavid line, or when you're on the road, the Draisaitl line. You're able to use nine guys rather than six.
So you just hinted at that there, and this is sort of my suspicion too, because we saw Connor and Leon together out of the gate together. We heard it maybe even hinted at that could change when the team hits the road and Tippett loses the advantage of having the last change. Do you suspect over the next couple of games we might see some different looks as far as the line combinations forward go?
I do. I think you will see Hyman with McDavid and Puljujarvi, and you will see Nugent Hopkins on the wing with Draisaitl in the middle and Yamamoto on the right side. I think that and for the very reason you talked about, you know, Dave doesn't have near the control at times. Now, do I think that Draisaitl and McDavid will play together on the road at times other than power plays? I do. I think you'll see situations, whether it's after a commercial break, when the puck's in the offensive zone, that he might put them out together. But I do think that we're going to see a lot more of Draisaitl and McDavid separated in the 41 road games starting tomorrow than we certainly have in the first three games at Rogers Place.
Chatting with our NHL insider, John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling. And while we talk about the top nine of this group, Zach Kassian has looked great in his two games. Jesse Puljujärvi is part of 22 points in the first three games for the top line. But Kyler Yamamoto's struggling out of the gate. He only had 10 minutes last night. He was a -3. And you hope he's not slipping into any kind of a doghouse with Dave Tippett so early in the season. I think that's probably a stretch for me to say. However, in your mind, John, what does Yamamoto need to do to get himself on track here and play up to the standard that we know and he knows that he can?
By the way, it's amazing how we can let numbers work the way we want them to work. You know who else was -3?
I got Zach Hyman at -3 as well.
Exactly. And we think Hyman played well. So
very good point.
It's absolutely amazing. I mean, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was -2. So I think that speaks to, you can let the numbers do what the numbers do. We all know that Yamamoto, when he's physically engaged, even though he's small in stature, when he's physically engaged and effective in the corners, you know, he can be a quality offensive contributor. And he has to show a stick-to-itiveness, in my opinion, to make it happen. We know he can do it. We know he's a catalyst. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt too, because when you do change your lines the way they did, and Kyler ends up playing with Zach, it's playing with a new body, you know, learning a new body. Now that's three games that he's had to play with Hyman, on the other wing. And it's, the learning curve is different. And so I think when things are down, this is the time to be patient and give the benefit of the doubt.
Looking elsewhere around the NHL, you know what? Buffalo is off to a surprisingly good start, considering they've got a new regime there, of course. And, you know, the Eichel situation has taken a back burner to the fact that they're just out there playing hockey now. Is that maybe the biggest surprise storyline out of the gate for you in this NHL season?
Certainly one of them, I think, and on a positive side. And I think what you really have to do is you have to give Don Granato a lot of credit for creating an environment of making hockey fun again. There were times over the last 2 years it was not fun to play hockey in Buffalo because they, you know, and they got rid of a couple of guys. But really, in many ways, without Eichel being there, there's still 10 or 12 guys that contributed to the Sabres' demise in the last two seasons that are still playing, but now are playing better. And I think Granato has created an environment that players want to play in. And it tells you that the effectiveness of a coach in dealing in a positive nature helps a club. Watching them last night, they appear to be faster than they ever were under Ralph Kruger. And again, like the Oilers, we talk about resilience. They had to prove resilience last night against the Canucks and did that. And, you know, if they can get goals out of a guy like Jeff Skinner, who's getting paid a lot of money and took a lot of criticism last year for not scoring very many goals, if they can get goals from him, then Buffalo is going to be not just a three-game fluke, but they could be something of a bit more of a factor in the Atlantic Division.
And conversely, at the other end of the Eastern Conference, you find last year's representative in the Stanley Cup Final, or I guess they would have been from the North or whatever, but you know what I mean. Montreal, John, is not off to a great start. They are 0-4. They're lacking a couple of the big pieces that made them so successful last year, but maybe those pieces helped them overachieve somewhat, particularly in a play offsetting and Carey Price and Shea Weber, who we learned today may not ever play. Well, I suppose it was further cemented that he may not ever play hockey again. Right. So in terms of what's missing from Montreal and maybe sort of despite the addition of a guy like Mike Hoffman or Josh Anderson and, you know, this sort of thing, why are they not having success out of the gate right now?
Well, they can't score goals, Brendan. You know, they've only scored three goals in the four games, including getting shut out last night by San Jose. But if you look at this team, and if you look at how other teams are constructed in the National Hockey League, we always talk about strength down the middle. Who's your number one center? Who's your best defenseman? And how's your goaltending? Well, Shea Weber, as you said, may never play again. Carey Price, not available right now. And who is their number one center? And I mean, it's supposed to be Nick Suzuki, but that's a ton of pressure on a guy in year four. They don't have any strength down the middle. They have no strength down the middle. And not only are they missing Price and Weber, but Corey Perry, who was really a catalyst from a leadership perspective last year, particularly in the playoff run, was very important. He's not there. And Philip Deneau, who turned down a really good offer from them early in the season and then decided to wait and then went and signed in Los Angeles, he's not there. This team doesn't have very much horsepower. The best story is the return of Jonathan Drouin, but Jonathan Drouin cannot do it by himself. Josh Anderson, you're right, has not got off to a great start. Mike Hoffman, who really is a one-dimensional player, only played for the first time last night. So this team, there's a bit of disarray in Montreal and certainly confusion in Montreal. And I think I don't think that's going to change very quickly when it comes to how Montreal is going to play in the Atlantic Division.
John, appreciate the input. We'll be hearing from you on the Face-Off show, okay?
Right on. Talk to you later, Brendan.
Absolutely. That's John Shannon, our NHL insider for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Quick timeout on Oilers Now. Back with the head coach of the Edmonton Oil Kings, Brad Lauer. Now 1:48 in Edmonton. Brendan Escott with you. And hey, Royal Pizza, pasta, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years now. For a menu and a list of their 14 Edmonton and area locations, go online, royalpizza.ca, or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. Halfway through a 5-game homestand, the Edmonton Oil Kings draw Brandon here at Rogers Place on Friday night. The head coach of the team, expected to, well, perhaps even go as far as the Memorial Cup this year, is Brad Lauer. Pleased to be joined by him on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. Brad, how's it going?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Appreciate you taking the time to jump on with us. And I know ahead of Friday, you guys have a couple days in preparation, about halfway through this homestand, sitting at 4-2-0-1 on the young season so far. And, you know, maybe the scoring numbers not as high as you'd like them to be. But before we delve into that, just your overall assessment of how the team has started out of the gate.
Yeah, you know, I think, obviously expectations for this group is really high. And, you know, I think the way we've come out right now, I mean, not to make any excuses, but we've had a lot of guys that missed our training camp and we're at NHL camps and coming back during, you know, just as the season was getting going. And, you know, right now I don't feel we're connected as a group right now to where we'd like to be, but it's still a work in progress. But we've done some really good things. I mean, defensively, we're doing a really good job of you know, in the D zone, not giving up a lot of goals against. Obviously, offensively, when you look at our team, we should be scoring a lot more goals. But, you know, in saying that, I do like the way we've been playing in tight games with a one-goal lead, being able to be under control and not panicking in these situations, but being controlled and managing the situation that we're in. And as we know in the playoffs, you know, these are going to be important games that will low-scoring games. And, you know, I feel very comfortable right now with the way our guys can handle it.
Well, and watching, you know, offense is one thing in terms of having cohesiveness, really bring it together and chemistry and needing that to thrive. Defense is a lot more based in hard work, Brad, I think. And maybe that's, you know, is why your team has been able to keep the puck out of the net, just 12 goals against. But, you know, like you said, a surprise with all the firepower that you've had, just only 16 goals for in all the same breath. Yeah. Two of them coming from Luke Prokop in his first game. What kind of addition has he been both on and off the ice for the Oilers? Kings.
Well, I think one thing with Luke, I mean, obviously off ice, I mean, I think he brings that character to our group that we've kind of missed a little bit. He's a big kid, obviously, can play some big minutes, very good puck mover, you know, very responsible defensively, has a great reach and being able to, you know, get pucks on sticks, but even just getting into checks and stalling pucks and allowing our transition from defense to offense. And not only that, I think we've seen the first game that he has opportunity to be productive offensively with his shot that he has. He was able to create, obviously, and capitalize on two great shots and score goals for us. So I think, you know, we can get more out of him offensively, the type of game we want to play. But just his maturity and the way he's been in the league, he just brings that veteran presence that we have back there that we need.
Not the only new defenseman on the Edmonton Oil Kings as we chat with head coach Brad Lauer. There was another new acquisition out of Prince Albert. Can you fill me in on that?
Yeah, we moved, you know, Stan, you know, he was kind of in and out of the lineup. Stanley you know, he just wasn't, he was, like I said, he was in the lineup, and, you know, we had an opportunity to find him a place where he could play more consistent. And, we picked up another kid, Goddess, you know, and he's playing in Kindersley or Camrose right now. I'm not sure 100%, but, and playing well there and playing a lot. So right now our plan is to leave him in the junior A team right now, unless we need him for emergencies, and then hopefully he's with us here next season.
So, Brad, you know, that'll you know, maybe be a longer-term piece. I look at the landscape of the Eastern Conference right now, and you sitting atop the Central Division at 4-2-0-1. Winnipeg 7-0 out of the gate, a white-hot start for them. As you assess the rest of the field, you'll see Brandon on Friday. And, you know, what do you make of this Eastern Conference in the Western League so far this year?
Well, I think, obviously, you know, Winnipeg's going to be very strong. I think Brandon's going to be very strong. I mean, Winnipeg, obviously, and it's junior hockey in general, if you don't have good years and you draft well, you're going to have good teams down the road. And I think that's what you're seeing right now with Winnipeg. They have some exceptional young talent down there, and I think you're seeing that those young kids coming and stepping up into our league right now, and with the way they're playing, and I just think there's a lot of teams in our conference that are going to be really good this year. And Brandon's going to be another team that has, again, they had a lot of guys drafted. They got a lot of kids, young kids coming up that are taking that next step, level of play. So I don't think you're going to see the domination of one team in this conference dominate. I think it's going to be about three or four teams that we'll be up there consistently through the whole season.
As the season rolls on, Brad, and you do get more time with more of the bulk of your roster at practice consistently, is there anything you're doing, you know, whether it be in on-ice sessions or off-ice sessions, to try to accelerate that process of getting everybody on the same page? When you do have, you know, I look at your leading scorer and Jacob Demick as being a new face there, and Dylan Gunther having spent time at NHL camp. Jake Neighbors was up with St. Louis just last week, or still is. So, you know, I can see what you were saying off the top of the interview, where there's a lot of moving parts. So how do you sort of rein all that in and make sure that everything's towing on the same rope?
Well, I think just one thing I think you said is this practice and just making sure we're doing the habits that we talked about for our foundation and keep working on that foundation that's just given us success here the last 3 years. And whether that's through on ice, going through reps on ice or even through video sessions, whether it's individual sessions with each player or we're doing it as a group or doing it as a line or doing it as defensemen or groups, but just keep working on our structure and our details as a group. And as we move along here, things will tighten up.
Over the last couple of years, I think you guys have been well aware of the potential of the team and what wasn't to be just based on circumstances. That changes this year. Right. And looking at the group on paper, I know you guys aren't going to invest too much stock into the CHL top 20 or anything like that. But when you look at the, Sebastian Kosa and Nat, the amount of first round talent, the amount of potential that this team does have, what is the messaging to this group to really cement the belief that this could be, ultimately a championship type season?
Well, I think that's how we have to approach. I think that's how we've talked about it here. Obviously, coming out of the gates, they've had us ranked number one. And again, for us and the message to our group is those are numbers from the previous year. That's what we've done last year. That has nothing to do with what we've done this year yet. So the important thing is not to look too far down the road and understand the importance of making sure we're prepared this season. And, with that becomes responsibility. And like anything else for our players is our expectations as a staff for each player is been raised. Whether if you were here last year, we're not comfortable as an organization on what you did last year. It's all about, getting better this season. And, that's one of our focuses that we've done with each individual through the years. And as a team, we keep raising our expectations, and that starts with our habits and our work ethic. And, we keep building it from there.
Brad, thanks for your time today. Good luck Friday night.
Great, thank you.
7 o'clock, puck drop. Rogers placed the Brandon Wheat Kings in town. We're going to this day in Oilers history. New West Travel, Denison, Jason Laliberti with some info coming down the pipe on their next Oilers Now trip. But Cody, what you got?
1992, Rob Ravitch scores twice to lead the league's new expansion franchise. The Tampa Bay Lightning passed the Oilers 6-1. Craig Simpson scored the lone goal for the Oilers as their record fell to 1-6-1 on the young season.
Yeah, a bit of a different tune this year. 3-0, looking to make it 4-0 tomorrow night on 6:30. Chad, we'll tee it all up. Bob will be back. It is the Oilers and Coyotes from the desert. 8 o'clock tomorrow, but tonight, Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins from 6 to 8 p.m. Hey, we'll have Kevin Weeks on tomorrow's show. He's from ESPN and the NHL Network. That's for our friends at Canadian Power Pack, Alberta's leader in solar electrical construction and service. Electrical, prefabrication, solar, Canadian Power Pack. Also, Sportsnet color analyst Louis DeBrusque for GCL Diesel. Up next, a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3. And then 6:30, Chet after Noons with Jalen Nye. I'm Brendan Escott. Thanks for tuning in. Chat tomorrow.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 6:30 Chad.